And we turn now, friends, to our second lesson, which is from the Gospel of Mark. And as we're in the beginning of this year, so we are still in the beginning of Mark's Gospel. We pick up essentially where we left off. You'll see we're in the first chapter, verse 14 through verse 20. And Mark writes, "Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news.' As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fish for people.' And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in their boat mending the nets. Immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, and for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. So I am what you would call a cradle Presbyterian. I have been one my whole life. After all, I grew up the son of a Presbyterian minister of music. And as such, church was never optional in our family. I really wish it would have been as a child, but was not granted that luxury. And as such, I grew up and eventually rebelled against the church, rebelled against God for a time. And yet still, because I can never remember a time, like some of you, to be sure, where you didn't know a relationship with God, I don't remember a time when I wasn't familiar with the blessings that we celebrated last week of baptism, and how in baptism we are named and claimed and loved and forgiven, gifted with gifts and called to use them. And as we explore, this is really the ultimate blessing of baptism, to find at the font what so many others spend their lifetime searching for, sometimes never finding: identity and purpose. Identified as God's beloved and blessed with the purpose of spending our lives for the way and will of God. But that is not to say that that's really just all there is to it, if only. It is not to imply that living into the gifts and the call of God is simple. I really don't think it is, which is why I so often struggle to relate to our second lesson this morning. I always have, and I just don't know how they did it. As we just read, Jesus is walking along the shoreline and he sees these two brothers, Simon and Andrew, fishing in the sea. "Hey, fellas," he yells, "come on and follow me and I'll make you fishers of people." And immediately, Mark says, immediately they just drop their nets, symbols of their very way of life, symbols of their way of making a living, right? And they just go and follow this stranger. A bit further down the coastline, Jesus sees two more brothers, James and John. They're out fishing with their father Zebedee, and Jesus calls out to them, and immediately, Mark says, John and James just jump out of the boat, leave their father sitting there, and head off after Jesus. I could not have done it. I would not have done it. Some stranger you've never met, keep in mind, this is some stranger they've never heard of before, because Jesus isn't popular yet, comes up and asks you to leave the life you'd always known, your work, your family, all in order to follow this way of life you've never experienced before. Could you do that? Whether you are a cradle Christian or this is your first time in a community of faith. But then again, while I don't think I could have done that, we would do well to remind ourselves that we're here this morning. And believe it or not, that says something about each of us. in our response to Christ's call. I think it reveals quite a bit, actually, of your response to baptism and the identity and the purpose that God has placed within you. So I suppose my struggle is that I actually relate so much more easily with Jonah's call. Now, the portion that Kevin read for us, that's actually from the portion of Jonah's prophecy where he actually responds to God's call, where he really has no other choice but to live up to the mission God has put before him. What we didn't read is how this whole ordeal began. In the first verse of the first chapter, we read, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, 'Go at once to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.' But Jonah set out to flee from the Lord." And I love it. I love that Jonah set out to flee from the Lord. I love that Jonah thought better of it. I love that when God comes calling, asking him to deliver this incredibly difficult message to a group of Ninevites who are from Assyria, right? They're not Hebrews. Jonah thinks better of it. No, not going to do it. And he takes his tail and he runs away because he knows that if he goes and tells these Ninevites that God's going to sock it to them, they're just going to sock it to him. So he flees. He literally tries to run away from God, as if you can ever really hide from God. But that's the rub, friends, because the truth is, we all often try to hide from God. Not necessarily as blatantly as Jonah did. I mean, we don't run and jump on the first cargo ship heading for another port. But in all transparency, who here hasn't tried to hide from God's call? I know I have. It's something we do every time we rationalize that we just don't have the time for that. Every time we convince ourselves, oh, God can't really expect little old me to deal with big old that. Every time we say something like, it'll cost too much, or it's too far away, or it's just too complicated. Every time we assume that God isn't really asking us to be the vessels of God's kingdom, our baptisms have already told us we are. To be clear, we try to hide from God's call all the time. I have. And I remember sitting in a meeting at a church. This was a good long while ago now. It wasn't here. We were talking about a new ministry that our church had been asked to explore. We were asked to consider helping to expand a ministry that was based in a pretty rough place of a pretty rough city, because frankly, that's where the ministry could do the most good. And this ministry was doing an awful lot of good for an awful lot of people. So we began exploring various ways our congregation could participate in this ministry and help expand its outreach, help expand the people who would be served. I don't remember exactly where, but somewhere along the line, however, the conversation took a turn. "Well, I just don't know," a voice said. "I make it a habit never to go to that part of the city." Another chimed in. "You know, that's a good point. Should we really be asking our congregation to go there? Is it too dangerous?" "Well, that's where the mission site is," somebody else says. "But is it worth it?" another asked. "Is it worth the risk? Is it worth risking ourselves? Is serving this mission, is participating in the formation of the kingdom of God in this way, within this place, worth what it might cost?" And ultimately, we decided it wasn't. We decided it wasn't worth the risk. We didn't think of it like this at the time, but we were hiding from God. We didn't run away and jump on a boat the way Jonah did, but we made a decision to hide from God's call when confronted with something new we preferred not to face. Now, the obvious casualty in this is that the mission didn't get to expand, at least not through us. But also, if we had chosen to go and be part of this mission in a bad part of a bad town, it's not just the people who served who would have been blessed. The people who did the serving would have been blessed just as well. Because when God comes calling, God not only calls us to those who need us, God also calls us to our own growing edges, to those places we need to go to, those places that will offer us the perspectives we need to see, that we might touch and experience and relate to people and places we need to touch and relate to in order to grow ourselves. For when God comes calling, it's often a call away from our own nets, in our own boats, with all that's already so familiar to us. Right? God tends to call us away from the familiar to new perspectives, with new possibilities, in order to engage with the new or practice maybe a new skill as we seek to grow closer to God and who God is calling us to be. Frankly, it's what many here at TPC have started doing or will be doing in the ensuing weeks as we engage in a church-wide study on Waking Up White. It's a book our denomination's leaders have asked all Presbyterian churches to explore. And it's a struggle, I admit, to talk about something that can be as difficult as race relations. It's a struggle, actually, that we speak of this very weekend on Martin Luther King Jr. weekend. And the witness he provides is one who followed God's call to the horrifically uncomfortable, sometimes the brutally violent, but still he followed to lead our nation to one of its most important growing edges. And not just our nation, but the church as well. And the church's role in building bridges of understanding between communities and people. So I share very transparently that among the things I look forward to in these small groups are the conversations, because I know they won't always be easy, nor will they always be comfortable. For the book and its topic, they aren't light. And I'm sure there will be things shared and discussed that will lead to disagreement and dialogue and exploration and further sharing and further growing, all the sorts of things that occur at growing edges, where we find ourselves growing closer to others as well as God. Really, it's what I think discipleship is all about much of the time, following the call of God, not only in service to God's people, but in pursuit of our own formation, as we find the faith to step out onto our growing edges, to learn more about ourselves and others and our world and God's grace within it all, and so become more of the disciples in the community God calls us to be. So when it comes to our discipleship, friends, we need to get real about our tendency to hide from God's call and start facing the truth that God calls us to both the easy but also the difficult. God calls us to the pleasant as well as the uncomfortable. God calls us to see the beautiful but also the terribly ugly, because that's where God needs us, isn't it? I mean, where is light most needed but in darkness? And where is love most needed but amid places of need? And where is peace most needed but in places of strife? So shouldn't we expect God to call us to the uncomfortable? I mean, shouldn't we expect God to call us to the challenging? Shouldn't we expect God to call us to risk ourselves for the kingdom of God? I mean, it's really what we see right here, friends. At Christ's table, amid this meal, where we get to come and touch and taste and be nourished by Christ's very gifts. Here, where we come and remember Jesus' life and mission and ministry. And so here we come and remember the life and the mission and the ministry with which we have been blessed. Amen.